You're tuned to AM 580, where you can also listen online at WILL.UIUC.edu. It's time for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 5:20, down 10 and a half on the open. March, 5:25, down 18 and a half. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 5:25, down 6 on the open. March, 5:27, down 10 and a half. May, 5:10, down 8. July, 4:63, down 4. September, 4:61, down 7 on the open. December corn opened at 317 and a half, down 3.5 on the open. March, 325, down 4.25. May, 331 and a half, down 4.25. July, 333, down 6. September, 323, down 5. Redline, December, 322 and a half, down 3.5 on the open. December oats open at 233.25, down 5 on the open. March, 240, down 4. November beans opened at 601, up a half on the open. January, 613, down 1.5. March, 622, down 1.75. May, 629, down 2. July, 635, down 5.25. Redline, November, 650, down 5.5 on the open. December soybean meal opened at 179, down 150 on the open. January, 180.40, down a dollar. December soybean oil opened at 25.68, unchanged on the open. January, 26 even, down 2. At the Merck October feeders, opened at 107.50, up 75 on the open. Noves, 105.60, up 102.5. January, 105, up 130. October live cattle opened at 88.20, up 27.5 on the open. December, 88, up 67.5. February, 90.55, up 45. April, 90.05, up 27.5 on the open. December lean hogs opened at 59.60, down 12.5 on the open. February, 62, down 25. April, 63.40, down 45. May, 67, down 45 on the open. And February pork belly is open at 88.50, down 70 on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, Dave.
Well, since the opening bell, the market has extended its losses. December wheat now at 5:13, down 18. December corn, 3:14, down 7. Are you now a seller of either of these lead options?
Okay, let's step into the corn market or the wheat market first. There is some application for new delivery points. The ConAgra one at Alton, Illinois, it's about a 3.3 million bushel elevator. There are rumors of that the grain companies want to make some additional delivery points, and people are assuming it's for wheat. As a result of that, the wheat market has a new dimension to it, and as a result of that, seeing a new dimension in the marketplace. It's also creating some profit-taking in the marketplace as well in the corn. Now, long-term, we are still very bullish corn. And long-term, we're still bullish corn for several reasons. The problem with using the word sell, it sometimes encourages people to not focus on the longer-term trends, Dave. The trend and the fundamentals in both cash and future in corn is still very much alive. We think the corn prices could go substantially higher in the months ahead. And so we want to be very careful how we use that terminology sell.
In the short term, which is what I'm looking at right now, you look at your December weekly corn chart. It's made its objective from left over there from May of 2004.
As we still continue to say, though, is that we have to be extremely careful, and some of the people are basically looking at, more ethanol plants, the definite need to raise more corn acres next year. Possibly if the government would lower the corn crop 1 to 2 bushels an acre, we could see substantially higher corn prices. The verdict is still out, and we think it's very dangerous to encourage too much bearishness in the market when the fundamentals could be so explosive in the longer term. It is very convenient for when the market's down to encourage the market to be sold, but sometimes it doesn't always work because we still think the major long-term trend is higher.
The reason I bring it up is that you have people wanting to get in on a marketplace and wondering where to do it.
Yes. Well, as we continue to bring it up, too, is that we want to err on the conservative side here because we still think both the fundamentals short-term and long-term are higher. Yes, the market could dip 15 cents or so, but you know, as far as it's awfully hard for a farmer that never has a futures account to take advantage of a longer-term trend unless he just basically holds on to that commodity. But now a commodity trader, it's easier for them to do it. We still think the overall prudent view is to be optimistic and friendly.
So how friendly are you then
over
the next...
Well, if we do come in with, you know, snow and we come in with the idea of yield loss and we don't get 3 to 5 million acres of corn, let's just say 5 million acres of corn next year, we could move the corn market up to $4 to $5 a bushel. And it's just that simple. If we would lower the corn yield 2 bushels to the acre, and if we don't get 5 million acres or more corn next year, we could be looking at some substantially higher prices. And also, we could also err by having, you know, 3 or 4 more additional ethanol plants in the Midwest built. And, you know, just certain things like that and shifts in demand could encourage the corn price to move substantially higher.
How many corn acres have been bought in your mindset at this point?
Well, that's a tough question. You know, and the reason is that we think that the large cash renter is already at 85 to 100% corn right now. And it's awfully hard to buy additional acres from that particular person because he's already geared up to, you know, his maximum. So we have to go to other sources, you know, maybe not in substantially in the Corn Belt or in areas where they're programmed to have more corn rotation, bean rotation. So that's a difficult question, and we don't necessarily think that the prices are high enough to encourage, you know, 3 million acres at this particular point in time.
Not 3 million, then. What about CRP? Is that going to come into play?
Well, it's a political issue, and, you know, there's a lot of ifs and buts. We don't know what the new farm program is going to be. But that's definitely a tool that the government can use to get additional acreage into control prices. So it's something that's down the road. We don't know the exact answers. We don't know exactly when that will be announced. It really wouldn't be political advantageous for the Secretary of Agriculture to announce a big acreage CRP coming into production, you know, right before an election.
What about the soybeans? Is the corn prices pulling the soybeans along with it on ideas that they have to follow with these
Our sources indicate that the later beans, particularly in the north part of the state and even into Iowa and far parts of southern Illinois, that, you know, maybe the yields were good, but the yield drop is noticeable, and it's considerable. So we're of the opinion that we really won't see a major increase in soybean production on the next report. That's A. B, we are programming less acres of corn and beans, both in Brazil and the U.S., in the formula. And we know that the farmer really hasn't been in a very aggressive seller of beans. And we also know that the crush margins are good. We also know that China has been a very aggressive buyer of soybeans, and we also have this new dimension called biodiesel on the horizon that's, you know, both growing here in the U.S. and around the world. So the idea is, are we really going to see a big cutback of soybeans? And the answer is, you know, in central Illinois, if your bean yields were good, it's been pretty profitable to raise soybeans. Now, if your yield is 45 bushels to the acre in near Rockford, Illinois, you know, then that could be a different story. But in central Illinois, you know, soybean yields have been fairly good. But do they have to dip a lot in here? No. And do they have to substantially rally a lot? You know, some of the bulls are talking more in the 2008 time frame for that situation to unfold.
Thanks much, Paul.
Have a nice day.
Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We're on the web at WILLAG.org.